I'd like to invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Exodus this morning. Exodus, the third chapter. Our yearly theme is revival, and our theme is spelled out in the way of a prayer. That is, God of eternity, revive the spirit of the humble. Revive the heart of the contrite ones. And that's our prayer for 2022, that God would revive us. Part of revival, we'd like to challenge you to look to God to revive your service for Him. So for this month, we're going to try to encourage God's people to be revived in their service for the Lord. And I trust that your prayer will be, revive my desire to serve you, O Lord. There's plenty of opportunities to serve here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. We try to make room for all. The Bible teaches us man's gift maketh room for him. And so we'd like to encourage you to seek God's face and seek a way that you can serve him in 2022. So with that introduction, I'd like for us to read Exodus chapter 3, please. Exodus, the third chapter, verses 1 to 4. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. The Bible reads, "And Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priests of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I." Let's bow for prayer. O God, we pray that you will guide us. Thank you for this wonderful hymn that we've just sung, Only Trust Him. And I pray, O God, that you might cause us to trust you fully and only. I pray that you'd meet each one at that point of need this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. At the end of the book of Genesis, God revealed to Joseph of old that their time would not be permanent in Egypt. That one day God will lead Israel out of Egypt into the promised land once again. And with this revelation, Joseph wanted his remains to be carried back to the promised land on that glorious occasion. Some 400 plus years have passed, and from a family of 70, the nation of Israel has grown into a great multitude, the Bible teaches. And we note here in Exodus chapter 2, please, verses 23 to 25, the cry of God's people. Verse 23 reads, "And it came to pass in process of time, the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage.
And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. So God heard the cry of his people that were under oppression there in Egypt. And so God raised up a man to lead God's people out. God is always looking for leaders, those that will be willing to lead in that point of need. God's people had a need of deliverance, and God's people cried out to God for deliverance. And God respected that request and honored that request in the provision of a leader. We need leaders today. I shared with the men yesterday the need for leadership. And as we note the main leaders of the free world, it's a bit disheartening. The lack of leadership that's evident. We have individuals that are fulfilling a role, but whether they're leading, that's questionable. We need leaders. We need spiritual leaders. And that might be an awesome thought for you and I to digest and think, well, not me. I can never be a spiritual leader. Well, you're not alone. Moses felt exactly the same way. And I want to encourage you this morning, my friend, as we begin the new year, that God uses inadequate people. God uses people that feel inadequate for his glory. And we see that evident in the life of Moses. And because God was able to use Moses to lead his people out of bondage, God can use you. And God wants to use me and you for his glory. Moses is confronted with God's presence at a bush that is burning, the Bible teaches us, but not consumed, at the end of verse 2. And Moses said in the third verse, I'm going to go and see what's going on. That doesn't make sense. The bush over yonder is on fire, but it's not being consumed. What's going on? I'm glad he did have the foresight to ask the question. Something's not quite right here. And the Bible teaches us that God called him out of the midst of the bush and called him by name, Moses. And just in case he was a little bit hard of hearing, Moses. And Moses said, here am I. And that's what God wants of you and I, my friend. If you want to be used of God, we need to be available. Here am I. I'm here. So Moses here in Exodus chapter 3 is caring for sheep, his father-in-law's sheep in the backside of the desert, the Bible teaches us. Just minding his own business. And God has heard the cry of the nation of Israel in bondage and under oppression. And God in his providence chooses this man, working on the backside of the desert, out in whoop whoop, as we would say, taking care of a menial task, caring for sheep. Usually shepherds were little boys, little girls. It was a pretty unimportant job. So Moses was humble enough to care for his father-in-law's sheep. You've got to do what you can to keep your father-in-law happy. Yeah, amen. And Moses said, I'll take care of his sheep. Well, God honored him because he wanted to keep his father-in-law happy by calling him into the ministry. And God called his name Moses, Moses, and Moses said, here am I. And then note verse number 5 and verse number 6 that God reveals himself unto Moses more fully. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Don't get too close. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. God said to Moses, don't get too close, because you are on holy ground. Take off your shoes. God revealed himself to Moses as the holy God. And also note then verse number 6, moreover he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And note the response of Moses. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. So God reveals himself to Moses as the holy, eternal God. And beloved, if you and I are to be used of God in 2022, we need to have a biblical view of God. We need to see God for all that he is a holy God. He is our eternal God. We need to have a high view of God, and this is what God was communicating to Moses. Don't get too close. Take off your shoes. This is holy ground. My presence is holy ground. And beloved, may I remind you that we live in the presence of Almighty God. And we need to be mindful of His presence, and His presence encompasses holiness. God wants us to live holy lives. So God reveals Himself to Moses as the holy, eternal God. I am. That is in the present, still the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I am God. And let's read on. Not only did God reveal himself to Moses here as the holy eternal God, but God also revealed his burden for his people. Note there verses 7 to 9, please, of Exodus chapter 3. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And note verse 9, now therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. So God not only reveals himself to Moses as the holy eternal God, God reveals his burden for his people. He's broken over the hardness and the persecution that his people are experiencing. He's burdened, concerned about his people. And God reveals this burden to Moses. And beloved, for you and I that know Jesus Christ as Savior, we need to be burdened for those that God is burdened for. See, the Bible teaches us God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has a burden for the world. God loves the world. God's not willing that any should perish. And God said to Moses, I have a burden for my people. I hear their cry. I feel their sorrow. My people need deliverance. We need to be burdened for what God is burdened for. And this is what God was trying to instill into Moses of old, to just catch a glimpse of his heart. I love that little phrase there at the end of verse 7 where it reads, for I know their sorrows. I'm familiar with the pain that they're experiencing right now. I'm burdened for my people. So God revealed himself to Moses as the holy, eternal God. God revealed to Moses his burden for his people. And thirdly, God said to Moses, I want to use you. I want to use you. Look at verse 10. Come now, therefore, he said. God had an end in view in this appearance at the burning bush. And Moses did say, here am I. So God reveals himself and God shares his burden. Then God said, I want to use you. Come now therefore, verse 10, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. When God called Moses by name, Moses responded with, here am I. And God said to Moses, I want to use you. To lead my people out of Egypt. God uses people to accomplish his work. Note there in Ephesians chapter 2, just for a quick moment, please. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 8 to 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. The Bible reads, for by grace are ye saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we're saved by God's grace. Saved from what? Saved from sin. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We are saved by the grace of God, by faith in Jesus Christ. It is a gift of God, as verse 9 reads, not of works, lest any man should boast. My friend, God wants to save you from your sin. Because God is forever gracious. There is nothing you and I can do in our own strength to earn God's favor, God's approval. But Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He rose again according to the Scriptures, so you and I can enjoy forgiveness, a home in heaven, eternal security, hope, when we place our faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? I trust you do. I trust you do. But note verse 10 here in Ephesians 2. It goes on to read, "For we are His workmanship." God doesn't just save us and dump us. God does a work of grace within us, builds us. To what end? For we are His workmanship. Salvation is just the point of beginning. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. We're not saved by good works, but we are saved to do good works. There's a vast difference. We're saved by faith in Christ unto good works. And beyond salvation, God wants to build us into His likeness, that we become useful for His glory. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See, God uses people to accomplish His work in this day. And God called Moses to a specific task. God said, "Moses, I want to use you. Yes, you. Stop looking around. Stop pointing the finger at others. Stop making suggestions that so-and-so would do a better job." God said, "I want to use you. I want to use you to deliver my people out of Egypt." And so likewise, my friend, God wants to use you. God wants to use you. "Oh, not me, Pastor." Yes. Yes, you. God wants to use each of His people for His glory. God uses people to accomplish His work on this side of eternity. And then we read on, if we go back to Exodus chapter 3, that Moses wasn't convinced. He had his excuses. Just like you and I have our excuses. We're good at excusing ourselves. And Moses seemed to have some good excuses, but they weren't good enough. So God said to Moses, "I want to use you to deliver my people out of bondage." And note what Moses said in verse number 11 of chapter 3 of Exodus. He said, "Who am I?" Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I, Lord? I'm a nobody. Who am I that I should have the privilege or the responsibility of leading the nation of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? I'm a nobody compared to Pharaoh." The Bible teaches us those that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. And God's response to Moses was simple but yet profound. Moses, doesn't matter who you are, what matters is who I am. Note verses 12 to 14, please. And he said, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. The reality of my presence will be the evidence of the fact that I've sent you, he said. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, it shall say unto them, the God of your fathers have sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, verse 14, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, have sent me unto you. See, Moses tried to excuse God's calling upon his life, the opportunity to serve God, by questioning his ability to fulfill such a task. He said, I'm a nobody. Who am I? They don't really know me. What influence will I have before Pharaoh, let alone the nation of Israel? And God responded by assuring Moses of his presence, and God assured Moses of his power. And God said to Moses, when they asked the question, who is this that has sent you? In whose name are you doing this? God said, I am that I am. I am the eternal God. I am the everlasting God. It is who God is that matters, my friend. And we can rest in that fact. And because of that fact, it's not about us, it's about God. Who am I, said Moses, rightfully so. Who are you? Who am I? I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. And my usefulness to God does not rest in who I am, it rests in our Almighty God. He is the I am. And there in John chapter 8, verse 58, the Lord Jesus introduced himself as the I am. So we have a Christophany here, an appearance of Christ. I am the I am. And Jesus said, I am the I am. I am the self-existent one. I have no beginning or end of days. I am eternal. I am God. Moses, it doesn't matter who you are. It's who I am that matters. And you tell Pharaoh and you tell your people that the I am has sent you. So Moses had the excuse in asking the question, who am I? I don't qualify. I don't have any credentials. I've been looking after sheep of late. I have no university degree, let alone a PhD. I have no experience in leading people. Who am I? God uses inadequate people, because it's God that chooses to use us. And then we read on in chapter 4, he has another excuse. And his excuse now is, they won't believe me. Chapter 4, verse 1, And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. They're not going to believe me. How do I prove to them that you really sent me? They won't follow me. And note God's response in verses 2 and 3 of chapter 4. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. Remember, he's been looking after sheep. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled before it. So God said to Moses, what's in your hand? Cast it down. And watch me do the miraculous. And so likewise, God is saying to you and I, but pastor, they won't believe me. I just don't qualify. If you and I will just cast our rod, so to speak, to the ground, God will do the miraculous with that rod. That rod is a fitting picture of your life. If we will just cast that rod, God can do the miraculous. God can turn a stick into a serpent and then a serpent into a stick for his glory. Who am I? He said. Moses, doesn't matter who you are. It only matters who I am. But Lord, they're not going to believe me. Don't worry, Moses. What's in your hand? What have you got? I've got a stick. Cast it down. And if you and I will just cast before the Lord what we have, God will do the miraculous. God will use you for his glory. Who am I? They won't believe me. And his final grand excuse was, I'm not eloquent. There in chapter 4, verse 10, please. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent. My English ain't good. Neither herefore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. God, I'm not eloquent. I'm not well spoken. I stutter. I muddle my words. I'm not a born orator. I'm not eloquent. Don't have the confidence to stand before people. I'm not eloquent. God's response to this excuse, or God's answer to this excuse, note there verses 12 and 13. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Moses, you just do what I tell you to do, and I will give you the words to speak. What are your excuses for not serving God? For Moses, who am I? They won't believe me. I'm not eloquent. And God said to Moses, I will give you the words. I will teach thee what thou shalt say. And if you're still concerned from verses 14 to 16, he said, I would suggest to you that I'll give you the words and you can get your brother Aaron to do the talking. That didn't happen. Moses ended up doing all the talking after the initial point. Moses took over from Aaron. So Moses was full of excuses. And God said to Moses, I will show you, I will teach thee what you need to say. And if you're still concerned, note then verse 15, thou shalt speak unto him, that is Aaron, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. I'll give you the words to say. See, God's calling is God's enabling. So what's your excuse for not serving God? See, God just wants us to be mindful of all that he is and cast our rod before him, our lives. Because God's calling is always God's enabling. So if God leads you, guides you into a ministry, God will enable you. And my friend, God will use inadequate people. God specializes. In fact, the Bible teaches us not many wise are called. Not many noble are called. Most of God's servants are just weak vessels that are willing to be used of God because they've allowed themselves to be cast into his presence. And as Moses cast that rod in his presence, they were willing to cast themselves into God's presence, and God has done the miraculous in and through their lives. I think back to the many individuals that I have watched and seen and noted the evidence of God's blessing upon them. And I've also had the privilege to note their weaknesses, their human side. And that has been such an encouragement to me because it's reminded me of the fact that God uses willing, weak vessels. God uses inadequate men and women. And my friend, God wants to use you in 2022. We've had 2 years of pandemic mania. Let's move on. Amen? Let's move on. Why not cast yourself into God's presence and say, Lord, here am I. Who am I? He said. They won't believe me. I'm not an orator. I'm not well spoken. I've got a stutter. Failed English at school. Can't spell the word grammar. I'm not sure what an adjective compared to an adverb is. I still get confused. And God said to Moses, it doesn't matter. I've called you, I will enable you. I'll give you the words to speak. Faithful is he that calleth you also will do it. But we need to cast ourselves into his presence. And thankfully Moses did. Thankfully he did. We see in verse number 18 that Moses hands in his resignation to his father-in-law. Verse number 18, and Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said unto Moses, go in peace. So Moses hands in his resignation. I'm done. No more sheep caring for me, father-in-law. God's called me to lead a people. out of Egypt. And thankfully, Jethro accepted his resignation. He had enough God fear in him to accept his resignation. And Moses honored that statement he made there initially at the burning bush when he said to Almighty God that called him by name, "Here am I." I'd like to encourage you, church family, in 2022 to serve the Lord. God has saved us to serve Him. There's opportunity. I know most of you can sing. I just heard you. Why not use that voice for God's glory? Amen? Some of you can play instruments. You could use your ability to aid worship. God has given us all gifts and abilities. See, we're saved to serve. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And God said to Moses, it doesn't matter who you are, it's who I am that matters. I have a job for you to do, Moses. Just cast your rod down and watch me do the miraculous. God wants to do the miraculous in your life. And if you're a Christian here this morning, I'd like to encourage you. Please don't remain a pew warmer. Nice to have you in church. Get involved. Get involved. Let's serve the Lord. Our time is short. People need the Lord. See, God was burdened for His people. Remember what He said to Moses? I know their sorrows. I know their sorrows. People are hurting. People need the Lord. Let's get involved in 2022. Let's set aside the excuses. Let's cast ourselves down into His presence. Let's surrender fully. What have you got in your hand, Moses? Oh, God, all I've got is a rod. And you might be asking the same question, Lord, I don't have much. Cast it down. And God will work for His glory. God wants to use you in 2022. What's your excuse? I'm not adequate. Good. You qualify. That's it. That's it. It's as simple as that. Moses said, I'm inadequate. I'm inadequate. I'm inadequate. Glory to God, you qualify. None of us are adequate to serve God. Really. It's God that enables us. We just need to cast ourselves at His feet and say to God, as Moses said, here am I? I trust and pray that you will seriously consider serving God in 2022 because Jesus Christ is coming again soon. Let's bow for prayer.